My first point today, if I get through all my points, is God wants us to have a committed faith. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going through a lot. And this is one thing that we can pray. God, I pray that their faith, that their commitment to you would stay strong. Their commitment and faith. But what about my commitment and faith? What about your commitment to your faith in Jesus Christ? A committed faith to the Lord Jesus makes sure that we endure until the end. That you and I would endure to the end. And God's word says in Matthew 24, he that endures to the end shall be saved. In a commentary I read about that verse, Matthew 24, 13, the commentary states this. There's an implication that Jesus makes here when he says, stand firm to the end, and he who endures to the end shall be saved. You do so because of faith, through faith, by faith in him. But if you'll understand and know that there's only going to be a few. Because in Matthew 7, 14, Jesus also says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Why is there only few? Because there is only few that have committed faith. I'm not sure about you, but I want to have committed faith. I don't want to have half-hearted. I don't want to have lukewarm faith. I don't want to have faith that just goes just to almost to the end and then just fail. I don't want to have that kind of faith. I want to endure till the end. I don't believe that there are people in here that can relate to Balraj, but I pray that you will have committed faith, that when difficulties arise, your faith in him will remain. What happens when life brings you the most difficult times? What do you do? Who do you run to? Who do you call on? Who do you look to? I pray it's the Lord Jesus. I pray it's the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I want to encourage you to go to Jesus. Because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that says that he, looking to him, Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, he's the one that starts it. He's the one that ends it. Why? Because who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He's done it. He knew what was to be the end result. And it was joy unto him that he endured the cross. Man, if we would just look to Jesus and see what Jesus did, that we would be able to see what Jesus looked at, the joy that was set before him, that we too will endure our cross. We have to carry a cross. We have to live a life of trusting in him. So what or who do you trust in? I would like to say this in faith. Be honest. I'm being honest. That I would respond to such great persecution as the early church martyrs or my brothers and sisters in Christ who have just recently passed away because of their faith. I would like to say in faith that I would respond just like they did when they lost their life instead of denying Christ. But how many of us know? We won't know until we actually get there, right? So what's it going to take for us to get there? That if your life was on the line, whether you live your life or lose your life, you can live your life and deny Christ or lose your life because you choose not to deny Christ. What would you choose to do? Again, in faith, I would like to say that I would respond similar to the early church martyrs. You know, the ones that were thrown into hot tar, the ones that were speared, the ones that were hung upside down, the ones that were crucified because they chose Christ instead of living their life, instead of saving their life. They lost their life for his sake. And Jesus says, you'll find it. You'll find life, eternal life that way. But we won't know. On Wednesday, I shared this. Go to slide 4, please. On Wednesday, I shared this slide. You see, I won't fully know until I'm in that position. And I shared this as I can rest in the fact that God is in control, which means I can face things that are out of my control and not act out of control. How many of you ever acted out of control? I want to have a committed faith that I don't act out of control, but that I can rest in the one who is always in control. You see, because difficult times will happen and difficulties you and I will experience. And it's that committed faith in the Lord Jesus that will help us get through what we're going through. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. That's my text for today. Acts 27. And while you're going there, I'm just going to give you just a little bit of an intro. Paul is a prisoner, the Apostle Paul. He is a prisoner and he's being sent to Rome because he appealed. I want to be seen by Caesar. He appealed to be seen and judged by Caesar. So they have arrested him. They took him as prisoner and they're taking him to Rome. God has given him favor though. How many of you love when God gives you favor? God just steps in. And God just, his favor is on you. If you're praying for a job, you got it. If you've been praying for something, my son Josiah has been praying for something for many months now. And just a couple of weeks ago, that answer to prayer came. And I'm just so thankful that he stayed resolute, that he stayed faithful to God. And yeah, if you ask him, he might have whined and complained. But how many of us have whined and complained, right? He whined and complained, but I'm so thankful that he stayed true to praying and waiting on God. And then God came through and answered his prayer. So thankful to the Lord for that. But here, God gave him favor. And the cool thing about the favor of God on Paul's life, on this boat as a prisoner, it affected everybody else on the boat. And that's a great thing. Let me just throw this at you. Don't expect to be the person that gets to experience God's favor because of somebody else. Let it be because God's favor is on you. Amen? Did you follow me on that? Did I lose anybody? Look, I don't want to be around Jacob and get the overflow or the after effects of God's favor on him, although that would be cool. But I want God's favor on my life, that God is moving it through on my life as well. So others that were there on the boat were fortunate to be included in this favor. And so they set sail, and after several stops, we're going to begin in Acts 27, verse 14. The weather changed abruptly. So they're out to sea, they're on course. The weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Clauda. Now, just to throw this out there, some of the wording and the verbiage, I've never been in a storm like that, so I have no idea what it means to run the gale. But some of you that have been on a boat lost, maybe not lost out at sea, but you've been out on a boat, you probably have experienced something similar to that. Hopefully never, you've never been in a northeaster, but it wasn't a very safe atmosphere, okay? The water, the sea was taking them away from where they were headed. With great difficulty, we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Sirtis off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing cargo overboard. They were getting scared. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and stars until at last all hope was gone. All hope was gone. I wonder at that moment if Paul regretted, man, why did I appeal to Caesar? I would have been on land right now. Maybe, maybe not. But it says all hope was gone. But was it really? Imagine if this occurred in the beginning of Paul's ministry. You see, I firmly believe that God, he knows what we're going through. And like I mentioned before a couple of weeks ago, the teacher is always teaching. Holy Spirit, our teacher, is always teaching. How many of the students are listening? How many of the students are willing and humble enough to be taught and not put their fingers in their ears and blah, 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 blah? How many of us are willing to be taught by the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is teaching. Class is always in session. You see, because I believe that Paul, in early of his ministry, he was being taught of the Lord. He was being put in certain tight situations and he trusted the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus called him into ministry, and that calling he looked back towards every time that difficulty happened. To teach us in truth is what the Holy Spirit does. To remind us of truth is what the Holy Spirit does. To lead us in truth. But if we're not learning, man, the next big northeaster, so to speak, You have to experience. If you're not allowing the teacher to teach you, if you're not allowing the teacher to remind you, if you're not applying what the teacher is reminding you, if you're not allowing the teacher to lead you into truth, you're going to fail in that storm. Committed faith is what we need to have. You see, I'm so thankful for God's mercy and perfect timing, helping me to grow in faith, that I have become thankful, especially in the moments of lack, and especially in the moments of difficulty, and in the moments of regret. But hold it, I'm not there. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We have to find ourselves that we're thankful in what God has done and what God has provided and how he has protected. Let's go to the next slide. You see, Paul, this is the theme of this month. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Are you missing it? It's God's will for you to be thankful. Because if you're thankful, you're looking to him, knowing that he's providing everything. He is with you. He hasn't left you, and he has a great end for you in store. Rejoice always. James says, count it all joy. I want you to laugh the next time you go through a difficult thing. You're probably like, yeah, laughing is probably not going to be the first thing on my mind. You can get there, though. Again, class is always in session. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And this is why I believe that Paul, early in his ministry, God was teaching him some things. God was leading him. This brings me to my next point. Growing in faith, which brought him to grow, to understand this calling that Jesus has called me when I couldn't see because he blinded me. And he told me that I'm going to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles, that I'm going to go and preach the gospel to the people that he'll bring across my path. The Apostle Paul makes a statement in Philippians chapter 4, that I wonder how many of us are even aware of what God is doing in us, of what God is wanting to do through you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul says this, not that I'm speaking in regard to need. I'm not telling you that I need something right now. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this, which a lot of us have heard. You probably have a t-shirt that says this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I encourage you? Don't let that just be a slogan on a t-shirt, on a sticker, on a bumper sticker. Understand why Paul said this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because when I was lacking, I was thankful. Because when I was in plenty, I was thankful. Because when I was in dire need, I knew who my God was. Because when the blessings flowed, I knew who God was, and everybody around me was experiencing the favor. When he was in lack and when he was in plenty, he learned. You see, he had committed faith, but his faith was growing. I'm challenging you today. Make sure your faith is growing. In the next difficult moment, you'll be able to see, by depending on who you run to, by depending on how you react, you yourself will be able to see how much your faith needs work and how much your faith has grown. I don't say this to be big-headed or whatever, boasting of myself, but it was so good to hear when my wife said one time to somebody in one of the marital counseling sessions we gave, talking about my fuse, of how my fuse to blow up in early in our marriage was short. But she had said that she has seen how God has helped me, that my fuse has lengthened. It took a lot more for me to act like a weirdo and a jerk, but it took a whole lot more. But I attest to God's word, James chapter 1, verse 20. For the wrath of man is not the righteousness of God. It took that word. And it's not because I wrote it on a sticky note and put it on my mirror in my bathroom and read it every day. It was because when I read it every day, I applied it. And that when I messed up, that scripture came right smack in my forehead, right in my mind, to reveal to me what foolish thing I did and that that was not the righteousness of God. And over the course of time, my faith was growing in that area. So I'm thankful when God shows us the things that we go through. He shows us where we need to work on, but he also shows us how well we're growing in our faith. So Paul and all of these people, let's continue in Acts 27. Paul and all these people are on the boat, and it doesn't look good because it says it looks like all hope is gone. Verse 21, but after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, man, you should have listened to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you. Again, this is a prisoner talking to the guards, okay? Just keep that in mind. There will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong. To whom I belong. Who do you belong to today? And whom I serve. Who are you serving today? Saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you, and granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, Paul says, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. What does your belief in God do for you? Does it just make you feel good? Does it do something to your faith that not only is it committed, but is also growing? How does your belief in God direct your life? Does it just direct you to a certain place every Sunday morning? Or does it direct the decisions of your life from Sunday to Sunday? You see, our belief in God, knowing committed in Him, having a committed faith in Him, and having a growing faith in Him, it ought to affect our daily life and our decisions with Him or to Him every day. My third point is enduring faith. I want to read Acts 27:33, and it says, and as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them to take all the food, saying, today is the 14th day. You have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread. Listen to what he's doing. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when they had not been on land yet. What's he doing? He's having communion. What's he doing? He's remembering what Jesus told him to do and what Jesus did for them. He took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged and also took for themselves. And in all, we were 276. So this wasn't a small John boat. How many people? 276 persons on the ship. I believe 275 people were so glad that one of them was Paul. But Acts 27:44 says this. They all escaped safely to land. Our brothers and sisters in Christ may or may not safely enter into the kingdom of heaven. Their life may be taken from them. But really what seems to be more important and all the more important that matters is that their safety is in Jesus Christ. Their life is in Him. Their eternal life is in His hands. And regardless of what they go through, I pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ will not deny Christ, but they will continue to have committed faith, growing faith, and enduring faith, because Jesus Himself said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. God used tragic and difficult, unforeseen circumstances to place Paul and others in a moment of faith or failure. Guess what? Get ready. That might happen to you as well. I don't know when. But you will go through difficult situations in life. And there will be tests, according to James. And they will test your faith. And it'll be a moment where your faith is at test for you to pass or for you to fail. And not realizing that these moments would help all of those in the boat to see the power of God. Not realizing that this was God's way of leading them to evangelize. If you want to go to Acts 28, they land on an island called Malta and people hear the gospel message on Malta. So all of that turmoil and all of that nor'easter and all of the breaking of the ship just to get Paul and the gospel to an island so people can find out about Jesus. So all of the difficulty that we go through, just so that you have the opportunity to go ahead and share the gospel to somebody who's there to help you, to rescue, to pick you up, or just to even stop and talk with you. I am learning this. I'm not there, like I said, but I'm learning this. Never underestimating the difficult moments in life as if God is not around or that if He forgot me. Anybody ever feel that God has forgotten you? Anybody ever feel that God's not listening to you? Jesus says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. If we are children of the Most High God, God is always there, regardless of how you feel. Just look at Joseph. Without his technicolor dream coat, Joseph had many great opportunities of despair and difficulties, yet they were only because God was going to use them in a great opportunity to save many lives. No one could have come up with that plan other than God. No one could have arranged or scheduled all of those things to happen to Joseph but God. And it's difficult to say this, it's difficult to preach this, because it's difficult to apply and to live this. And many times you'll find in Scripture the tragic moments and the difficult situations in life where God used a humble man and woman to glorify himself. And instead, or after it being a tragic moment, it became a supernatural divine moment. What are you saying, Pastor Rick? The fact that I'm not sure how many of you try to run away from the difficult moments in life. But if you remember, you have a committed faith, you remember who's with you, and your faith is growing, regardless of the difficult or the great times in life, you know that God's with you. So what's so difficult about it? Again, that's difficult to preach, difficult to teach, difficult to actually apply. Because I'm not looking now for all the, you know, Northeasters that are coming in my life and say, come on, bring it. Because I know that's, they're going to be difficult moments. Over 2 years ago, Shannon and I endured a difficult moment that I don't pray that will happen on any of y'all. Difficult moments. And some of you can probably relate and probably say, we have gone through weightier moments than that, than what you and Pastor Shannon went through. But we went through a difficult moment. But I'm so thankful that God is with us, that he's not left us. And if, as long as we stay committed to him in our faith, and our faith is growing, and that we are enduring to have this faith in him, we can go through any Nor'easter. So this is what I'm asking, that you pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ this week. Whatever imprisonment, whatever persecution, God, help them to stay the course. Help them be committed. Help their faith to grow. Help them to have enduring faith, because I want them to be with me and the few that walk on that narrow path that leads to eternal life. Amen. Father, we just come to you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just want to encourage you that if there's an opportunity that comes to your mind in a moment where you failed and you didn't do right, or you didn't respond and you acted out of control, I just want to encourage you, there's a God who loves you. There's a God who will save and forgive you. And there's a God who wants to accept you into his family. If you'll come to him, I ask that you come to the altar, make an altar at your seat, but that you'll say, God, forgive me. God, I surrender my life to you. God, I want to live for you. God, I want to have a committed faith in you. God, I want my faith to grow in you. God, I want to have enduring faith in you. I surrender my life this day. Help me, Lord, to live for you. That's you today. I just want to encourage you to come on up, and we're going to pray for you. If there's anyone that needs prayer for healing, anyone that needs prayer for wisdom, we want to agree with God's word over your situation and over your circumstances, that although they may seem dire and difficult and weighty, there is a God who wants to stand with you in the midst of it, and to take you through. Father, we thank you.